Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church Podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you hear this message from Pastor Josh Thompson.
I believe that we're getting ready to be a part of a way of life that we have not yet seen. It's always been available because of the blood of Jesus and what he did. But I believe that we're actually positioning ourselves to say, we want to enter into the fullness of what you have. And I believe that hunger is rising up in the church. It's a hunger to walk in the fullness of what Jesus paid for. It's a hunger to walk into all that's possible to see that we will release then the kingdom of God into every nook and cranny of our lives. We talked about the wineskins last week, and as the Lord works deeper and deeper and deeper in us, our understanding of him expands and increases. It's not that his word changes, it doesn't change, but our understanding and our revelation increases as we expand with him. How many want an expanded revelation of the Lord? Yeah, all of us do. I can feel the hunger in the room. And what he's doing right now and what he's doing that's to come, it's not going to be able to be held by our previous capacity. Our previous capacity is not going to be able to sustain what is coming. We need an increased capacity for what he's doing. And it's not going to be able to be held within these walls either. What God is doing is not going to be held within the church alone. It wasn't meant to be kept in buildings or programs, and it wasn't meant to be just kept among believers. It's to be released into every layer of life and every fabric of society. Can I hear an amen on that? Where ordinary days become filled with the life and the power of Jesus flowing through us. So what's available now and what's available that we're going to step into is really an expression of the reality of the prayer that Jesus prayed when he said, Father, on earth, let it be as it is in heaven. And we're saying, God, we want to walk more and more and more into that. And so even as we're fasting and praying, we're saying, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we are so good and we want more of you. And we want to be your expression on the earth. We want to know you as you really are. We're not just after knowing information. We want to know you, Jesus. We want to experience you, Jesus. And we want to live from that place. We want our entire lives to be for you. I read this quote somewhere. It didn't have an author with it, but it just said this. The church is not an audience to be entertained. It is an army to be empowered. The church is not an audience to be entertained. It's an army to be empowered. We're not here to be entertained. Amen? We're an army. We're not those that are sitting on a couch watching a movie. We're actually those that are in the movie. Does that translate to you? It did to me in my mind. I just, you know how we have family movie night, we're in it, we're like, you live in the movie, you know, you're watching, you're like, oh, that's cool. We don't watch it as believers. We're actually in it with him. We're actually in it with him. It's so good. We're in the movie. Jesus didn't say, watch other people do the stuff. He said, you get to do the stuff. He said, you get to do the kingdom stuff. Every single person that follows after him gets to do the stuff. I think it's easy to imagine the disciples somehow being trained by Jesus for years before they were released to do anything. But honestly, it was as you study this, you realize that it wasn't very long after following Jesus that he initially released the 12 to do the stuff. And they wouldn't have been what we might consider as ready. But what I'm learning is that his view of kingdom development and his view of ready is often different from ours. Through most of my life, whenever God has asked me to do something, I'm pretty sure that most of the time I didn't feel ready. In fact, I believe that one of the greatest lies and the greatest strategies of the enemy in our day is to disempower believers to make them feel that they're not ready. That you should really just grab a bowl of popcorn and watch the movie instead of being in it. Or chips. Or whatever it is you like when you're not in the Daniel fast. The strategy is to keep us out of the game. The strategy is to keep us on the couch watching, to keep us as consumers rather than kingdom releasers. But not long after Jesus called the disciples in Matthew 10 and he sent the 12 out, it was like he was saying to them, hey, you've been with me for a while. Now it's time for you to actually start doing what you've watched me do. It's time for you to actually start doing what I've instructed you to do. And so he tells them, he says, hey, I want you to go to the lost sheep of Israel. And then in verse 7, it says, he tells them, proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying. He says, now give without pay. In other words, go do the stuff you've seen me do. And a few verses later, he's really clear about this. He doesn't water it down. He tells them that along with doing those things, here's what's going to happen when you do them. He says, I'll just paraphrase it, and then we'll catch up with the passage in a minute. He says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. We're like, okay. In other words, you're going to be like sheep running through a wolf pack. He tells them, they're going to flog you. That means they're going to beat you with a whip or a rod. They're going to drag you before the authorities. They're going to hate you. If they called me the prince of demons, he said, they will you too. But he says at the end of it, he says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Then you're like, oh, okay, thanks, Jesus. Right? Like, what? Seriously, you think about this, right? We think about this in our current American Christian culture. You think about this, hearing this news, hearing this call from Jesus, and it's not just a call to the disciples, it's actually a call to us. It's a call to us. Think about this as he would be saying this to someone maybe in our churches in our day. He's telling them, hey, go heal the sick, raise the dead, set the oppressed free, do it in my name. They'd be like, okay, like, I'm scared, but yeah, okay. Like, that's scary enough. But then he's like, hey, the wolves are going to be after you. Right? Like the wolves are going to be after you. They're going to surround you, and you're going to get physically beaten. And actually, everybody's going to hate you. Like, I don't know that I've, like, ever preached that message before or heard that preached very often, but that's what he said. You're going to be hated by all for my name. And I think some of us might be like, what? That doesn't sound like the Christianity that I've heard about. And here's what I'm wondering today, church. I wonder if sometimes we take on a version of Christianity that isn't Christ. It's easy to imagine that when we're walking with him, when we are anointed and we are called and we're walking in favor, it's easy to imagine that it should be smooth sailing. But that isn't the gospel. Everywhere that Jesus went, there was opposition. Do you realize that? As Americans, we get so upset at the smallest infractions against us, right? They can't do that to us. We're Christian. You can't do that to me. But Jesus said this, you're gonna have trouble in this world. But I've overcome the world. There's going to be pushback, in other words. There's going to be persecution. But you aren't going to wage war like the world wages war. You're going to follow me all the way to the cross. You're going to follow me all the way to the cross, and you're going to live from there. He was clear with these guys. He didn't sugarcoat it. He was truthful about all that would come. Church, I believe today we need to be people that are truthful as well. And that we need to be clear on this too. That if we don't see the truth on this, we'll get disillusioned when the difficulty comes. And the Holy Spirit has just been highlighting to me over the last week or so. I read the Gospels and I read the book of Acts. How every time Jesus does something good, every time he does something new, he gets in trouble. Every time he does something good, it upsets the Pharisees. It upsets the religious leaders. There's opposition every time he does good. You think about it. He heals the paralytic man. They're upset. He forgives sins. They're ticked. He casts out demons. They say, you must be a demon possessed. He comes to do good, and heal humanity, and there is pushback with everything that he does all the way to the cross. And here's the thing. Then he tells his disciples, hey, you're going to experience this. And church, this is what I feel today. Before I even get into what I'm really going to share today, is that we should be ready for this. That we should not be surprised when the difficulties come. That we should not be surprised when we stand up for righteousness. If we're following Jesus, then the cost of following Jesus is literally our entire life. That following Jesus isn't just parts of our life following, it is our entire being following him. And I believe in as much as ever right now that we need to stay clear on this, that this whole thing of Christianity and following Jesus is not a self-help program. It is not a protect my life program. It's a surrender every stinking part of my life program. It's not a program. It's actually a way of life. In fact, he said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs, he says, is the kingdom. That's the good news. In fact, the Bible says this, says all who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. Okay, turn to your neighbor and give them a high five. They need encouragement right now. Come on, high five, high five. Yeah. That's good news, and here's some more good news. But this is what he says to him after he says all of that to him. He says this in verse 19. He says, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you're to speak or what you're to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. He's saying in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of opposition, it'll give you a platform to declare the good news. In the midst of whatever you're facing, it's an opportunity for you to declare the good news. And don't worry about what you're going to have to say or how you're going to say it. The right words will be there because the Spirit of your Father, the Holy Spirit, will be speaking through you for that moment. That's good news. Church, I believe today for us that we're in a place where we need the Father through the Spirit speaking to us. We need the flow of the Holy Spirit through us as a church, as a people. And there is a flow of the Holy Spirit available to us in a greater measure, unlike anything we have yet experienced. And my heart is longing for a fuller expression of it. Is yours? It is longing for it. I'm longing for it in my life, in my family, and I'm longing for it in the church. Because Jesus, he is our example, and his life was on display for us to see what it looked like to be anointed and full of the Holy Spirit. We look to him in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. If you have your Bibles, it says this. It says, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. That's a good verse. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus showed us what is possible when God is with you. His life showed us what is possible when God is with you and when God is leading you. He showed us what it looked like to be under the anointing and under the power of the Holy Spirit. And he showed us the model of what it looked like and what our lives were to look like, because he's the way. He's not a way, he is the way. And the way that he lived is the way that he has called us to live. He showed us what it looked like for the Holy Spirit to rest on someone. He showed us what it looked like for the Holy Spirit to rest and abide upon someone. He showed us what the new normal would look like after him. He is our example. He is our measure. And he is the standard. Any other example is less than. His life was lived to show us what is possible. His life was lived to show us what is possible. Fully God, fully man. And he said, as I have lived, you get to live like this now too. So after his death and his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples in John chapter 21. And in verse 21, he says this, this most powerful thing. He says, as the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. So while Jesus was on earth, hear me on this. When Jesus was on earth, the disciples operated in the power and the authority that Jesus had given them. But once he would go to the Father, they would need their own anointing and power. They would need a fresh power. They wouldn't be able to pull any longer from Jesus' personal presence and assignment from the Father. So in the Great Commission, they received the authority. When he called them to go, he gave them the authority. He authorized them. They were commissioned, right, to go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, all those things. He gave them the authority. They were authorized, but they would now need the power. And I heard this some time ago. I read this. Bill Johnson, I love how he puts it this way. He says it like this about this. He says, our authority is like the policeman's badge, but our power is like the policeman's gun. The power is needed to enforce what the badge stands for. That's good. That's good. Church, we can wear our badges as believers. We can have a lot of head knowledge. We can have a lot of information in our minds. And our names might even be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But here's what I hear him asking us today. Do you have the power of the Spirit on your lives? Do you have the power of the Spirit? Because the power demonstrates the badge. We can come with wise and persuasive words, but it won't be enough. We need a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. And not just in our services, but in the ins and outs of everyday life. When we're cleaning toilets and we're wiping babies' rears, right? When we're like in the marketplace doing our work, when we're in the school place, when we're in the grocery stores, we need the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Person who's plagued with a disease doesn't just need a theology, they need the power. I had a man come up to me this morning that just was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He had so much faith in him, and he came up and we prayed for him. Church, he doesn't need me to tell him a bunch of information. He needs a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit on his life. He needs healing to break in. The person that's oppressed by the devil doesn't just need a talking to. They need the power of the Holy Spirit demonstrated through the life of a believer to set them free. In fact, in Mark 16, Jesus says this in verse 17. It's one of my favorite scriptures. He says, these signs will accompany those who believe. He says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. That's scary because I hate snakes. I hate them. I hate them so much. I just want to kill every snake around. That's why we have cats outside to kill them all. Just, I scream like a girl when I see a snake. I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. For real. They're going to pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. Get this. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will lay hands on the guy with pancreatic cancer and they will recover. And this is what blows my mind, church, as he says, these signs will accompany those who believe. Those who believe. We've been reading the book of John on this fast. Today's reading is 14, John 14. Where Jesus says this in verse 12, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And get this, he says, and greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, he says, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. I think this is one of the most empowering scriptures in all of the Bible. You see, when you think about it, when Jesus was doing his ministry and the disciples are doing their ministry, all the religious people were like, no, 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 you can't. What does Jesus do? He says, yes, 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 you can. Religion and all of that was like, no, 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 you're limited. Stay on the couch, watch the movie. Jesus is like, no, 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 get off the couch, get into the movie. Release what I said you can do. The gospel is the most empowering thing that ever was. And it isn't for professionals or people on a stage. It's for every single believer. Every single believer. He didn't say, whoever studied the Bible for 5 years will do the works that I did. He didn't say, whoever has their MDiv will do it. He didn't say, whoever's living a perfect life. He says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And even greater things, because I'm going to the Father. See, I actually believe that the most significant things, the most significant work that is going to be released in the days to come is going to come through men and women that no one knows. That no one knows. They're not going to be big names. They're going to be people like all of us in this room actually releasing the kingdom of God, just like he said we would, that we take him at his word and we begin to step into that word and begin to release it. It isn't just for famous people. It's for every believer. Verse 15, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Everybody say forever. Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then jump down to verse 26. It says this, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. How many need help with your memory? Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit. This whole passage and several others in the next two chapters, Jesus says that even though he's leaving, he says, I'll be with you, and that they're going to actually be able to do things that he did and even greater. How is this possible? How's this possible? It's possible through the Holy Spirit. It's possible through the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be through the power of the Spirit that we will be able to do these things. It is the same for us. Church, I believe that we are getting ready to see things that we've never seen, things that Jesus said we were to see, things that we were supposed to be seeing, but we haven't. We've already been seeing a measure of what we see in the scripture that is to be ours. But church, we have to push through for more. After his resurrection, Jesus, he came to them in Acts chapter 1. And he tells them, he says, hey, you need to wait. Wait for the promise from the Father. In other words, there's something more you're going to need. More than what you currently have. It was like he was saying, you've got the badge. You're going to need the gun. You have authority because I sent you. But now you're going to need power. And you're going to receive it not many days from now. And he says a little bit later, he says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. See, to Jesus, the true evidence of somebody being empowered by the Holy Spirit was power. Was power. It was that they had power on their life. That they had power in their life. And what was the power for? The power was that their entire life would literally become a testimony of who Jesus is to the entire world. It wasn't power to leave a track in a bathroom stall. It wasn't power to, you know, leave a track like, you know, in somebody's mailbox. It was actually power for your entire life to be a witness of Jesus Christ. That no matter where you are, there's power on your life to release who he is, to release his heart wherever you are. That's what this power was for. And that's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2, in verse 4. We've all heard this many times, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but the day of Pentecost comes, they're all worshiping, they're all praying. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it wasn't a one-time filling, because we know a few chapters later in Acts chapter 4, they were all together praying again in that place because there was great persecution and they were gathered in prayer. And it says that that place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit again and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And church, I want to just suggest to us today that we need this filling. And it isn't a one-time filling. We need a continual filling. It's not just once, but it's over and over and over again. See, the church that Jesus gave his life for, that he gave everything up for, that he entrusted the kingdom work to, is to be a church filled with power to successfully complete the mission. Bible says the kingdom of God is not about talk, but about power. Kingdom of God is not about talk, but about power. And I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of talk and I've had some power, but I want more power in my life. There's been amazing things that have happened so far. But church, it's not going to be through talk. It's going to be through the power of God. He'll use talking. He'll use abilities. It's going to be through the power of God demonstrated in the life of a believer that says, I'm going to take Jesus at his word and say, you are the example. I want to align my life with how you lived. I want to live the way you lived. See, what he did on earth, he wants to do through us. It wasn't just to like, oh, that's so great that Jesus did all those things, isn't it? He did them so we would follow him and do them too. And as unbelievable as it may sound, and it sounds unbelievable to me, that he said that we'd actually even do greater things. That almost seems wrong to say, but it's not wrong to say. Every spiritual father, every physical father that has the right heart wants their kid to go further than them. Jesus is cheering us on. He's saying, follow me and you'll do greater things than I even did on the earth. As the Father sent Jesus, he sends us. And he takes those who are not qualified and he qualifies them by anointing them with the Spirit of God. Who's thankful for the anointing of the presence of God? It's not going to be through human might. It's not going to be through human power. It's not going to be through human ability. God will use all your abilities. It's going to be through the Spirit of the living God upon the church of Jesus Christ, moving in us, moving through us, and us getting in the flow with him and releasing his heart everywhere we go. Here's the thing I want to tell you, and then we're going to pray in a minute, that we cannot be deterred by what we have not seen. We cannot be defined by what hasn't happened yet. We cannot be deterred by the disappointments of how we prayed for people and they were not healed, or this or that or the other thing. We cannot be deterred by that. What we have to do is we have to align ourselves with his word and say, I'm going to be moved by what he says. That's what moves me. That's where I'm aligning to. And what he says is possible for the life of every believer, and press into that. So here's the thing. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days, it says he returned in the power of the Spirit. There's a connection between fasting and the power of the Spirit. There's something about a physical act of obedience that brings about a release of power. I don't understand it all. I just know it's true. I know it happens. And I fully believe that even today, because we have been fasting as a church, that there is a greater measure of power to be released upon us so that we can release the mission that he's called us to do.